once again, you have made the right choice. You are on 107.1 FM radio. The name of the station is WWGH. Welcome, and hopefully you are having a beautiful Tuesday. My name is Linda Sims, and the name of this program is called A Voice of a People. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn and search WWGH. One more option we have for you, if you'd like to call in and be a part of this show today, please call 740-383-9944. Again, 740-383-9944. And don't forget, we also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515, or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement. They have free produce every third Saturday of every month. The next day will be October the 17th. They start at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Please make note of this on your calendars. And if you do not need free produce, which is free, please let someone else know that they may benefit from that. We also have Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 27 years of experience working for you. Their location is LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number is 740-262-0939. Last but not least, Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. And thank you for your continued support, those of you who faithfully listen. And if this is your first time listening to A Voice of a People Live with Linda Sims, hopefully you will enjoy the show and you will become one of those who listen regularly. Thank you once again. I like to start my show with a thought for today, and it's titled, The First Step. Do not let the distance to be traveled deter you from taking the first step. And I have someone here with me. Her name is Mary Ellen Withrow, and maybe some of you know her or have heard of her. She is one of those people who have taken the first step. She has gone a long way in her travels and in her career. How are you today, Mary Ellen?
Oh, I'm just fine, Linda.
I'm so glad you could come to be with me.
Yes, I'm glad I could too.
Yes, absolutely. And we're talking about first steps. And Mary Ellen, just give us a little review of your life and some of those giant leaps that you took.
Well, you know, that first step when you run for office, it's quite a decision to make. And I know I thought about it quite a while. The first step, I guess, was running for school board, and I got nervous about it. You know, there was no women on the school board, and so that made it very unusual for me to run. And I don't know, it was something that made me try to do it, and it went from there.
Wow.
Yeah.
No women on the school board. Here
no.
We are today, still taking giant leaps for women, aren't we?
Yes, we're working at it yet. Yeah.
Yes.
We have to work at it every day.
Wow. The school board. So where'd you go after that?
Well, then I ran for clerk of courts and lost, and then ran for county treasurer and won, and then I was county treasurer for 6 years and ran for state treasurer.
Okay.
And I was elected there three times in 86 and 82, 86 and 90. And then in 94 I was appointed U.S. treasurer. And it seemed like those first steps were when you felt you'd done everything you could do and you had to move on, you know.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Take bigger leaps.
Yes, right. Take bigger steps.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
It took you a long way. Let me see who this may be. Try again. I don't know what happened to the thing. Try again if you are here to talk with Mary Ellen or myself. Sorry I missed your call. I don't know what I did wrong. I haven't had that problem before, but try it again. Okay, Mary Ellen, go ahead.
Well, I think I was pretty well finished.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't take me long to go through my life.
Oh. And you were the 40th. United States Treasurer, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I was the 42nd State Treasurer.
Okay.
And the 40th U.S. Treasurer.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And who was in office when you were...
When I ran for State
Treasurer?
Gertrude Donahue.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you remember her?
Mm-mm. I think the name, though.
Yeah. Well, she had... She had a huge embezzlement, and she said that she didn't think she could raise enough money to run the she had run three times.
Wow.
And so she was wanting somebody else to run in her place, which she asked me to run, and I thought about it for a while and decided to do it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You were well on your way when you took that first step with the school board, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Boy, that should encourage a lot of women out there.
Well, you know, I think so many times women miss their opportunities because they don't see the possibilities in something that comes their way. They think about it and then they decide not to do it. I've heard so many people, women particularly, talk about, well, I didn't have this or I didn't have that. I said, it doesn't matter. I said, if you want to do it, you should do it. I said, you don't have to have everything perfect when you run, because most people don't have everything perfect. That's almost impossible. But, you know, they would think they had to have certain things accomplished in their life before they could do something, and that's not the case sometimes.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's good to know, because, you know, even myself, I thought about running for different offices.
Oh, did you?
Yes,
yeah.
I thought about it, but I'm like, well, I'm not the smartest chip on the block. It's
well,
just little things.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you start analyzing yourself, and then you're in trouble, you know, because if you've got the desire to do it, you should do it, you know.
Just take that step on that
yes.
first step.
Yes.
Well, how timely was that thought for today? The first step, my. And Mary Ellen also was state treasurer when the $5 bill, the $10 bill, the $20 bill, $50 and $100 bill, they changed faces, right?
I was U.S. treasurer.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
United States treasurer.
Yes, we changed the faces on all the bills except the one and the two.
Okay.
And it was done, we started with the 100. And it was released all over the world on the same day, which was a tremendous accomplishment because they had money stored in places that they had never stored it before. And they were very worried about, the Secret Service was very worried about the situation, that everything would go all right. And it did.
Right.
Yeah. But we kept trying to tell the people that their old money would still be good because, you know, people had money stored under their mattresses and wherever, you know. And they wanted to, you just didn't want to any uprising happening because they were afraid that the money that they had wasn't going to be any good. So we talked about that for quite a while before we released the money.
Right. I guess that would make sense, because people will probably think, well, my money's not any good since they've changed the face of all the money.
Yeah.
But that was good. Just till it spends itself out, and then it would be regular money.
Yeah. Money is it goes through a machine back in the Federal Reserve, and I call it the wrinkle machine, and it gradually... it's gradually destroyed then when it gets too wrinkled.
Oh, they really do
yeah,
that then?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Do they shred it?
Yeah, they either shred it or, mostly it's shredded. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, we used to go get the shredded money when I was state treasurer. Mm-hmm. We'd get the shredded money at the Cleveland Federal Reserve and have the physically impaired people package it, and then we'd pass it out, you know, at schools and everywhere. People loved it. It was a lot of fun doing that.
I bet it was.
Uh-huh, yeah. So that's how some of the money got distributed.
It
shredded up.
Great, yeah. Wow. You never know, what they do with old money.
Yeah, right. Right.
How do they distinguish when it's outdated?
Well, it's the visible
the condition
of the bill. Yes. Uh huh.
Okay.
It's a machine that determines that.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I never knew that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure some of you who are listening did not know that either. If that call was for Mary Ellen, please call back. I'm sure I can get it right this time. I don't know what happened, but. It is bothering me now.
Oh, is it? That's all right.
It's bothering me. Yes, and Mary Ellen and I have been also. Oh, I do want to say this. Your career still keeps going. It's not over. You keep going, doing different things and great things. You just signed a $100 bill at the eatery or somewhere. You and Scott were together, and where was that at? Was that in Ohio or?
Yes. It was in, where was I?
I forget
where it was now, but well, I did just receive another award.
Did you?
Yes, this past was a week ago today. The National Association of State Treasurers had contacted me, and they wanted to give me this award for my service to the. Organization. I had been president of it in 1992, and I had been in it since 1982, and I was there until 1994, and it was an organization where it was all state treasurers, mm-hmm. and you could go and talk to the other treasurers and compare ideas and talk about your problems, and it was a wonderful organization, and they did this by Zoom. I was on Zoom and received it. I didn't get to go anywhere.
right.
But it was nice to receive that, and then I received one last year, just about a year ago, from NASACT, which is the National Association of State Auditors, Comptrollers, and Treasurers. And it was pretty much the same type organization, only it was bigger because it was more people. Mm-hmm. And I had been president of that in probably in 86, I would guess. And I went to Arizona in Scottsdale somewhere and to receive that award. And it was a wonderful experience. There were four people awarded that night, and I was the only treasurer. There was two comptrollers and an auditor and I, and it was such a nice event. And I guess we miss a lot by having our virus situation, by not being able to attend things, because I really would like to have met the other state treasurers. Now I there was only one state treasurer still there that had been sworn in the same time I was, and it was the Iowa treasurer, Mike Fitzgerald. He doesn't have term limits, evidently. And he was sworn in 1982, and he's still the state treasurer of Iowa, and which is pretty remarkable.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. See, your career just keeps right on going. It's not over yet, is it?
Well, maybe not. I don't know. I keep thinking things are coming to a halt, but it's wonderful that they're still going on.
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah. I'm happy about that.
Yes, me too. That's beautiful. Wow. And to be honored, even in your later years, you're still driving?
Yes, I still drive.
She is 90 years old. I'm blown away about that. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, I still drive, and I'm hoping I can continue to drive for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. I don't even know if I would be concerned about driving if I was 90 years old. That is
well, I'm not 90 yet. I'll be 90 in about 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Okay, October?
Yeah, October 2nd. Yeah.
Okay, October
yeah.
2nd. Yeah. Okay. I was looking at that and I thought, wow, 1930. I had to get to counting, you know.
Yes, right.
Oh, is she okay?
Right.
October 2nd. Well, we wish you an early birthday.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll be able to wish you happy birthday on that day. Especially.
Oh.
Especially.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Especially the radio station, right?
Yeah.
This is your second home.
Yeah. Well, I've done a lot here. It's always fun. I love coming here and talking on the radio.
Okay.
It's just very enjoyable.
Well, good.
Yeah.
We enjoy having you. Wow. You're a celebrity. Yes, you are a celebrity. And we were talking about Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Ginsburg, yes, yes.
Okay,
yes, she was wonderful. I was in the executive dining room at Treasury eating my lunch the day she was sworn in, and it was right beside the Treasury there at the White House where it was happening. I never met her, but I wish I had mm-hmm. met her, but I felt so sad when I heard that she had died the other day because... I don't know, she was quite an inspiration for women. She worked very hard at what she did, and people really liked her. And I saw the movie that they had made about her. I thought that was a fascinating movie. I had learned things about that movie that I hadn't known about her. And she had such a following of young people, of young women, and that's great, you know.
That is great.
Yeah, to have a following like that.
And to leave such a legacy.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Part she fought for women and women's rights.
Yeah.
Do you know, can you think of some of the things she fought for?
Well, it was, you know, abortion and the Roe versus Wade. She was trying to protect against that, anything happening to that. And... I was trying to remember the things in the movie that had surprised me. I really didn't know that she had had a family until I saw the movie. She had two children, and I guess her husband was the husband that believed she could do anything, and that's a wonderful thing.
Yes,
too. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I had a husband like that too.
Great.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He was always so supportive of what I wanted
great.
To do, and that's you need that when you're in public office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Now she was for Roe versus Wade.
Yes. Yes.
What is your take on Roe versus Wade?
Oh, I think it's really, we really need to keep it because women need to have the choice. They need to have the choice to make about their bodies. I just feel very strongly about it. And they're going to try to do something soon. I keep hearing that the Supreme Court is talking about that.
Turning it.
Yes.
Roe
yeah.
Wade.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would that mean to some of our young women?
Well, I don't know. They, you know, I can remember what it was like before we had that.
Yes, tell us about that.
Well, it was not a pretty picture because mm-hmm. women were doing things and they were ruining their bodies in order to prevent having a baby, and it's just women need the option to make that decision. There's situations where it's really necessary, and they need that option. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we already know the opposition's opinion about that.
Yeah, right.
So what do you think about them trying to hurry up and fill this position before the election?
I think it's terrible because of what they did with Obama's man, what was his name? Garland, something. And, you know, how they treated him, didn't even interview him. Well, I tell you, I can't believe what they're doing. It's just so wrong. They do whatever they want, whether it's right or not, and get away with it. So I don't know. It's just a shock to listen to them. They play what they said back in 2016 or 15 when we were going through this in Obama's administration, and then they completely turn and take a different approach after they said that, you know, that's what we should do. When you have a Supreme Court vacancy to fill, that she shouldn't do it in a year that the president is running for office. And my goodness, it's just a few weeks away when we're, and some of the countries voting already.
Yes, they are.
Yes, so, yes, they are. I mean, it's just wrong to do it. Yeah.
I think it's wrong, too, because when you set up a standard for someone else, but you can't follow under the standard that you set, you know, that's not right.
That's right.
But you should
yeah.
have to fall under your own standard, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Well, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but it's they're very determined.
Well, they're going to run somebody through their
rolling. Yeah, yeah. This one woman named Amy something. She looks like she's a good person, but they said what she stands for is, well, in fact, the Affordable Care Act is up for, they're trying to destroy that. And yes, yes, yeah.
What's that going to mean for a lot of people?
Well, they won't have insurance, and it'll be terrible, yeah. Well, there's millions of people that are on that. And the other side does not have anything to take its place. They keep saying they're going to have it, but they don't have it. It's not an easy thing to do, as we remember when it was passed. It was such a struggle, and so here we are again with they're talking about destroying it, and it's just a shame.
It is a shame, and I think that has to do with them putting Obama's name on it, Obamacare. You know, that's what they called it, and they didn't want his name to be on anything.
Cause yeah.
As we know, that was the first agenda.
Yeah.
When Trump came into office, was to just disannul everything that President Obama had done. We don't even want his face. Wouldn't even put his picture up in the White House.
I mean, yeah.
The unveiling of the former president. What is that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's terrible.
That just hate or what, you know?
Jealousy.
Jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's jealousy.
Jealousy is terrible.
It is.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says jealousy is as cruel as the grave.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah, well.
It's a terrible thing.
Well, yes, I guess.
That's what it says. It is as cruel as the grave.
Really?
Jealousy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can take you to do some crazy things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 I think about the sex trafficking and how our children are being displayed and misused and abused. And what has happened to the mind of people?
I don't know. It's terrible. I watch Dr. Phil once in a while, and I'm telling you, you just can't believe how some people managed or don't manage.
Yeah. I don't even know where they are.
Yeah.
How do they think or how do they process the things that they actually commit and the way that they go? We do know sin is in the world, but our poor children.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I hope so.
I'd like to see more the sex trafficking and the kidnapping. And, you know, just we're just in a bad shape where that's concerned. No matter who's president, we're still going to have these issues to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
They're still going to be there.
Yes.
And, all that. And that has gone. I know women do need an outlet, and I know women do need to have the right to say, you know, what goes on with their bodies. But some women have had 4 or 5 abortions. And that, you know what I'm saying? That's just,
well, yes, and they need to learn more about preventing, pregnancy,
prevention. Which was President Obama's take on that, was prevention.
Yeah, right, and that's where it should be.
Yeah. And abortions really went down during his presidency.
Did they?
Yeah. Because
of
that. Yeah. But now it's like, no, we're just going to stop it completely. And I'm kind of like you. How can you stop it completely?
Yeah.
Without women, like you say, aborting themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And finding a way out themselves.
Yeah.
And as we know, when the rhetoric got hyped up, they were finding more and more babies in the trash. In the trash cans, alive, more or less, in the trash cans, in the dumpsters.
Oh, boy.
On doorsteps.
Mm-hmm.
So women have already put themselves in a position, well, I can't have an abortion, but I'm not going to keep this baby either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's awful.
Then they make it so hard for people to adopt children. I don't know if it's the money or their backgrounds or what you have to go through to adopt.
Yeah, it's. I guess it's very difficult.
I wonder why it's so difficult.
I don't know. Well, they want to give the child a make sure that the child is in a safe home, and I think that's a objective. So that's good. Yeah.
That was one of my biggest questions. The controversy over filling her spot and how they are wrangling around.
Right.
And going on with, they're going to go ahead with this.
Oh, they are. They're moving fast.
Faster than I ever seen them move about anything.
Yeah, right.
Yes, absolutely. Now, when you left your position at United States Treasurer, did they replace you with another female?
Yes.
Yes,
they did. She wasn't there very long. She ran against Barbara Boxer's in her primary and got beat. She was from California. And actually, then there was another. It's been women treasurers since Harry Truman. He appointed the first woman, and they've been a lot of them have been Hispanic women, and when I was being considered, somebody said, "Well, you're not going to get it because they always appoint a Hispanic," and so I met with the top Hispanic person in the country, and I said, "Are you wanting this position for somebody?" And they said, "No, not at all." And so it wasn't the case in my during my situation. But then let's see, it was I don't know that the woman that followed me, I don't think she was Hispanic, but the one under Obama was Hispanic, and I went to her swearing in. She had 4 sisters, and they were all there, and it was very nice. She was from California. In fact, I think 3 of those woman after me had been from California. And then the current treasurer is, but she's no longer in the position. She was from Chicago, and she went into the Small Business Administration. So as far as I know, there is no treasurer right now, but they're probably still printing her name on the money, you know, yeah.
Okay. Wow. All right, then. What did you think about President Obama's presidency?
Well, I thought he was a great president. Yeah, he was a good president. He had such... Well, I met him. I was so glad to meet him. In fact, I've met all the presidents since John Kennedy, except Nixon and Ford. I never met them. But I met Obama in Columbus when he came to speak in 2016. And I started to tell him, you know, that I'd been treasurer for Bill Clinton, and he said, "I know all about you." And and I told him, I said, "You know what I like about you? I like the way you handle criticism." He could handle it so well, and that's quite a thing to be able to handle your criticism, because because you know the president gets so much criticism, but he had freckles. I was so surprised that they don't show up on television, but he had a million freckles on his face, and he looked so thin, and I thought, oh, he's got to eat more. But I always liked him. I thought he was a good president.
Yeah, I thought so too.
When he was being reelected, I was in Washington yet. I hadn't left Washington, and
that's in
08,
right?
Yes, and we lived in Bethesda, and I heard they had a whole bunch of people out in front of the White House, and I wanted to go down, but I didn't want to go by myself, and my husband wasn't able to go, and so I didn't go, but I would like to have. But when I saw the crowd for Ginsburg the other night when she died, you know, they just kept gathering in front of the Supreme Court, and there was a huge crowd, and then they started singing. And, you know, Amazing Grace and God Bless America and all those things. It was wonderful, yeah, to have that caring for somebody. That's marvelous, you know.
Yeah. She was an icon. She
yes.
Was, she's
yeah.
So strong. And you are, to me, an icon, especially for our city, Marion, Ohio. You are.
Well, thank you.
Yes, you are. Yes, mm-hmm. You are. We, you have your steps that you have taken. Are large,
mm-hmm.
And for us, we may not be able to take the big steps that you did, but we have someone to look up to that did.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
And the stamp, because it represents something for women.
Mm-hmm.
To see other women, you know, go through and survive and stand through all the criticism of men, and
mm-hmm.
just to think that Justice Ruth. She had to go through, but she stood.
Yes.
Though.
Oh, yes.
She stood.
Well, she was able to handle it. It's the people that are able to handle it are usually successful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because her face was always like a flint. You know, she was stand strong. Her smile was so quaint and small, but she always looked like a very serious.
Yes, yeah, she did, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just not going to push anything over on her.
No, I don't think they did, yeah.
She stood strong, and I'm glad that she had that type of impact.
Yes, yeah, right.
And the Supreme Court on our nation, you know.
Yeah, to be on the Supreme Court, she was the second woman to,
oh,
yeah. I can't think of the first woman's name, but I remember her. They've been showing her along with Ginsburg, and she was appointed by a Republican, but she was, I guess, did a fine job too. But it would, I think, the Supreme Court would be a very unusual position to be in. Very, I think it would be, first of all, it'd be very hard to get there, and that daily analyzing the law, you know, how, what that would be like. It would be very, for somebody that loves that, it would be very exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it, you'd have to love it or you probably wouldn't be there.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, I don't even know what kind of education she had.
Well, she went to Harvard Law School.
Oh, she did.
Yes. And she was one of eight women, and there was like 500 men or something. They keep telling that on TV. There was an enormous amount of men, but there was only just a few women, and she was able to go through that. Mm. Yeah, it's
proud. Wow.
And it sounded very difficult, you know. Yeah. To me, it did.
It does to me, too. Oh, so what about your education? How far did you go in school?
I did not go to college. I'm always I'd wanted to, but it didn't work out. And so I did go to Harvard for some training in the John F. Kennedy School. And experienced that, and which was good.
Okay. Training. Okay. Did the state or the nation pay for your schooling, or did you pay?
A company paid for it. Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to remember. It was a food company. I can't think what it was right now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm younger than you. I'm buying this one. I can't remember the name. I'll be thinking, Lord, give me the tongue and the mind of the learned. I'll be searching for words and names of people. And it's like, oh, okay.
Well, I'll think of it as I leave here, probably.
Okay. Your mind is still working.
Yeah.
I really pray that those of you who are listening, to Mary Ellen Withrow. She is an icon in our city here in Marion, Ohio, who has traveled from Marion to Columbus, Ohio, to D.C. to be around presidents and people, what they say, in high places. Absolutely. And her career still goes on and on. She's still receiving awards. She's still driving. She's still cooking and taking dishes. I know you took something to Scott Spears' Labor Day weekend party, and I'm like, he had her fix something? I'm like,
he didn't ever tell me to fix anything. No, I thought I should.
You see how she is? Here she is bringing dishes and everything. And, you know what? I just pray that I can have that long life like you do, and still getting around, driving
yes,
cars,
yeah.
Doing interviews, like with the done it over the phone. Here she is in the flesh. She's driven here, got on her elevator to be on my show, and I know you are enjoying her and her great wisdom and her experience in her life. I tell you, it's one to be jealous of in a way. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I think a lot of the time it was really good that I have my museum. That has been, yeah, it's, of course, nobody can go to it unless they live at Primrose now, nobody from the outside, but that has been a great thing that people could see my memorabilia and go through it, you know, from the time that I left office until the pandemic came about, it was very fortunate that I did that. Yeah. I think back and I thought if I hadn't done that, people, you would not have had the information that, you know, that
history,
I,
yeah.
Yes, the history. It's important for people to know history. I think history is so necessary in your, when you make decisions, to know history about things.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you can't. I'd be glad when I can let people back in. But we were doing this oral history when the pandemic came about. The Historical Society had created this oral history with people from Columbus that were asking me questions and recording it. And they didn't get finished because the day that everything shut down, they were still in my museum recording everything. They never got finished yet, so they're still working on it. But I saw a what they called a teaser the other day of it was about 5 minutes of they took different interesting events and put it in this little teaser that they can use when people go through it, because my things are going to go to the Historical Society when they move Harding's things out, then my things will move in where his were.
That's another museum we have.
Yes,
in Harding.
Yes, and that's going to be great.
It's,
you know,
beautiful.
Oh, yes. Yes, I looked at it not too long ago, and I thought it's really nice. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, it'll bring a lot of people to Marion. And that's important. You know, some people just, they go around and look at presidential memorials, and that's kind of their life. I mean, they always try to go to as many as they can, and that's exciting. And he's got one of the prettiest. Harding's memorial, I think, is gorgeous.
They say it's one of the largest, other than the mall at D.C., the Presidential Mall at D.C. You know, where they have all the statues and the museums and.
Well, Roosevelt. I was there when Roosevelt's was dedicated. It's a wonderful one, but it's huge.
DC?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Eleanor too, and it's like it's a walk-through thing outside. It's not inside. It's outside, and it's amazing. We were at that event, Norman and I, and the planes were flying over. They'd have to stop talking when the planes went over because they were right over our heads. And I grew up under Roosevelt's administration, and I always thought he was a wonderful president, and he was, you know. Oh, it'd be unreal.
Yeah, I don't think the Lord made it easy for presidents for it to be an easy job.
Yeah, their hair gets white.
Yes, it sure does. And you almost couldn't even recognize President Obama when he finished his second.
He looked totally different.
Yes, he did. He had aged so much.
Yeah.
You know,
well, what
he said, he went through a lot too.
That's right. It made it very difficult for him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
but
it was.
They do say that President Harding's memorial is one of the largest outside.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, it's lovely. I think it's a lovely building.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, it is. And our time is winding down, Mary Ellen. I am really enjoying my time with you here.
Thank you.
It's about gone, and she has really shared a lot of her wisdom and knowledge with us for being state treasurer and United States treasurer, and also being in the midst of Ruth Bader Ginsburg being sworn into her office. She was she was in the mix, Mary. So she has a great rapport to share with each and every one of us. And thank you once again for coming.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And sorry, we are out of time, everyone. We'll have to get her back here as soon as possible. Hopefully, over the phone interview, because I don't know, I was thinking about her, like worrying, but she's okay. So you want to say goodbye, Mary Ellen?
Yes, I've enjoyed it tremendously. I love talking on the radio, so I thank you for inviting me.
You are so welcome. You've been listening to A Voice of the People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. So till next time, be blessed. God bless you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LPFM, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place, for guests like legendary ABC News correspondent Sam Donaldson.
Over the course of this program, we have had